This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. It's tough to step into the political arena. At least if you are an elected official, there's some glory to offset the constant campaigning and criticism. But if you're the behind-the-scenes person, like a party chair, there's not much glory. There's still a lot of criticism. Over the last 50 years, Tim Burke has been the behind-the-scenes person for Jerry Springer, for Tom Lucan, and as party chair. For that troublesome cast of characters known as the Democratic majority at Cincinnati City Hall. What has kept Tim in the game so long? What does he believe he will hand off to his successor in a couple of weeks? And what advice does he have to offer the new leadership and all the young folks thinking about jumping in the political trenches? We are joined today by WVXU politics reporter Howard Wilkinson and the retiring chair of the Hamilton County Democratic Party, Tim Burke. In case anybody thinks that comes with a big salary, Tim works full-time as the president of the law firm Manley Burke. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, Tim.
Thank you, Daniel.
And Howard. It's good to have you here. Tim, you grew up in Cleveland.
On the east side of Cleveland.
East side of Cleveland. Was your family involved politically?
No, I really grew up in the local VFW where my dad and his father and my mother and my dad's mother had been the commander and president of VFW Post 3456. They were very involved in community service, but not in politics.
So you come down here to Cincinnati to go to Xavier University as an undergraduate.
Correct.
Cincinnati is a very different place in the 1960s politically than Cuyahoga, Cleveland were in the 1960s. What were you surprised?
There were days when I wondered, why the heck didn't I go back home?
There was a John Carroll University there, right? Yeah, Jesuit University.
Yes. Clearly. And there were a whole lot more Democrats there than there were here in Cincinnati when I came here.
Yeah. And the dynamic was really different, sort of the polar opposite.
Yeah. And it was funny, though, how, you know, when you were at Xavier, how the Democrats on campus kind of came together. I mean, you guys had your own little band of brothers.
No question.
Mafia is what we refer to it
right,
as.
Exactly. Yeah.
First of all, the Young Dems, when I started at Xavier, was a huge organization and even convinced Vice President Hubert Humphrey to come to a mixer on campus.
Dan
remembers that, I suspect. But later, by the time I was a senior, there was a whole group of us who had gotten involved in local political issues. Ken Blackwell was the president of the Black Student Association. I was student body president. Mike Ford, who became Jerry Springer's go-to guy throughout Jerry's political career, and a number of other folks, including Bill Cunningham, were part of the political activists.
Yeah, Gene Beaupre.
Well, Gene was an older guy.
Well, he was in my
ahead of us.
He was in my class and then dropped back at one point.
Correct.
I could tell you some stories. But anyway.
So could I.
Also, your wife, Patty.
Correct.
Was part of
Thank
that.
Thank you for reminding me, because she would.
Yes, she would.
Yes.
Patty was the first woman to graduate from Xavier's undergraduate day division.
From the day division, yes.
Correct.
When I was there 2 years ahead of you, women were allowed through the night division.
And that's how Patty started. But it was in our senior year that we officially went co-ed, and Patty was the first person to walk in graduation.
There you go. You know, we're all shaped by the people that we work with and get to know over our careers. I'm going to give you a few names here. Give me a short description of who they are for you and then how they influenced you. Jerry Springer.
Jerry was incredible. A lot of excitement, a lot of craziness, but a whole lot of fun in trying to make change politically.
Tom Lucan.
One of the toughest guys I ever worked for, but the best political mind I knew.
Yeah, I've always described it as the best political gut that I knew.
Yeah.
That's a good description. I agree.
I remember him in that 76 campaign, which I worked with you on for Congress. Tom said something like, you guys can go off and do all the data analysis you want. I don't think we use that term in those days. And he didn't want any of that stuff because
he knew enough about this community that he didn't need it.
Yeah. Every time I took him someplace else than Price Hill, he said, why the heck am I not in Price Hill? And every time I took him to Price Hill, he said, why you keep taking me to Price Hill?
Well, he knew the stuff that was important, not like how to campaign at a church festival.
Absolutely true.
Stick the raffle tickets in your front pocket so everybody could see that you
were staying. Walk around with a beer in your hand.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we learned from Tom what his schedule was the next day. So the only way that we could shut him up by proving we had the yard signs up was we made sure there were yard signs all along whatever route he was driving that day.
Bill Mallory Sr.
Somebody who impacted this community like nobody else. At his memorial, the one thing I said that I continue to believe is he changed the color of justice in this community.
Or are you thinking specifically of the way he changed the way we elect municipal court
Absolutely
judges?
Absolutely true, yes.
We're the only county in the state of Ohio, right?
Well, but what that grew out of was the fact that when we first elected an African-American to Cincinnati Municipal Court, the state legislature changed the law to make it a Cincinnati-Hamilton County Municipal Court, and we didn't elect an African-American to municipal court for decades after that.
Yep, and he changed that.
But Jack Gilligan?
The philosopher and somebody absolutely committed to education first.
Oh, here's somebody very different. Saka Wethi.
A lot of our listeners
wouldn't know Saka Wethi.
That's what I was just going to say. I walk into a Democratic meeting these days and say Saka, it's like, what's that?
What is that?
And people don't recognize that Saka actually was the party chair with 1 2-year break longer than I have been party chair. When some of us young guns, Don Mooney, myself, Charlie Winburn at that time, and Dan Hurley tried to overthrow Saka. Saka instead, and Saka was a jock. He played for the Detroit Tigers, the Detroit Lions.
Right.
He wanted to challenge us to a bear and trout fight in the pool at Cincinnati Athletic Club. I'm sure we were to be the trout.
Yeah.
You know, all I remember is that you and Don Mooney convinced me to go with you on that vote. And I said, do you have a prayer here? And you said, oh, yeah. And we all and the vote came. We stood up and I turned around. And I said to myself, my political career is over right now. So anyway, being the behind the scenes guy, other than one brave but doomed run for Congress that I remember that you made against Willis Grattison. Have you ever been tempted to run yourself, to be that out front guy?
Oh, I've been tempted, but that race for Congress was 40 years ago this year. And I thought about that when I was coming over here today because I was a hotshot debater in high school and college, and Grattison and I had a debate scheduled on WLW. I put on my suit.
On radio or TV?
And fixed up my, you know, just put the cufflinks on and all of that stuff. And I was ready for this guy because he had been on vacation. I figured he's taken me for granted. I'm going to beat him in this debate. He shows up in blue jeans and a white T-shirt because it was a radio debate.
It was radio. And how did you do?
I lost big time.
Other than that, have you been tempted? Run for city council?
You know.
A little bit easier?
Shortly after that race, I was tempted, but that got complicated very quickly by Charlie Lukin's interest in it and Florence McGraw's interest in succeeding the late Jim Lukin to that position. Mm-hmm. Right. And that was as close as I came after that to running, and I did not.
Well, in these, you know, 4 decades of being very actively involved, 4+ decades of your active involvement in local Democratic politics, we started out by talking about the difference between Cleveland and Cincinnati. How have Cuyahoga and Hamilton County, how has Hamilton County changed in those 40 years?
Well, certainly the demographics in Hamilton County have changed dramatically. And as a result, we are no longer the rock-solid Republican county that we historically were. It used to be that in a presidential election, the Republican Party could count on coming out of Hamilton County with a 100,000-vote margin. We've carried Hamilton County in the last three presidential elections. We now have more elected Democrats serving in executive offices in Hamilton County than the Republicans do. We still have problem breaking through in judicial races, though I think we've got the strongest judicial ticket we've ever had running this year.
And there's a lot of reasons for that, too. I mean, a lot of the Republican base over the last few decades basically just moved out, moved into Butler County, Warren County, other places.
There is no question. We used to have elected Democrats in our ring counties.
Right.
They're largely extinct.
Right. They're almost gone, yeah.
Although now we've seen some increases in local elections.
Right.
In some of the outlying counties.
Yeah.
The flip side of that is that, yes, Democrats are doing much better in Hamilton County, but because of gerrymandering, there isn't a lot of place for a up-and-coming Democratic candidate who maybe serves on city council, maybe runs for a county commission, but the idea of breaking through into Congress, or much less the Senate, just hasn't been there. There hasn't been the opportunity to move on.
I will tell you, I honestly believe that we have a real opportunity to take the first district this year with Aftab Perval. I know you're looking at me very skeptically, but Aftab's a terrific candidate and Shabbat's gotten pretty darn tired. And he's not out the way that he used to be when he was a younger candidate. He also is making stupid mistakes, referring to Aftab as not being one of us and letting his staff criticize the grandmother of one of the kids killed in the Florida murders.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that should never happen.
So with the passage during the primary of issue one, are you hopeful that this may change the way that the districts are drawn here in Hamilton County, and there may actually be a future and a path for Democrats?
I am certainly hopeful, although those changes won't take place until the 2022 election, so it's going to be a ways off. This year, we have to hope that Aftab is going to succeed in breaking through, even in a very gerrymandered district. And Jill Schiller, who's running in the 2nd Congressional District, is a very bright and attractive younger candidate as well, and she's going to give Winstrup fits before this is over.
And in fact, we do have a caller with us right now. And Eric, you have called and want to make a comment?
Hello?
Hi, Eric.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's Eric Kearney.
Hi, Eric.
Absolutely fantastic job as leader of the party here, and I wanted to just say all the great things that you've done for me, and I really appreciate them. And one thing that people may not know about you is that you are an absolutely fabulous writer. I mean, I've seen some of your your letters that you've penned, and they're great, and you're a fantastic lawyer, and so I just wanted to add that to the discussion today.
Eric, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Eric, of course, being one of the real stalwarts in terms of a successful candidate running on state Senate.
I will tell you that there was a time when that seat became vacant when Mark Mallory had been elected mayor, and I got a call from one of the Democrats from upstate in the state Senate wanting to know my thoughts about people who were expressing an interest in it. And one of the names she had was Eric Kearney. And my immediate response was, if you can get Eric Kearney to take on that job, you're crazy if you don't grab him immediately. And they did.
There you go. It sounds like a good deal. Eric, thanks for calling. I know, Howard, you had a question for Tim about one of his roles has been as a member and as a chair of the Board of Elections, and we've seen a lot of different changes there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we've seen a lot of changes in the method of elections over the years. I mean, you go all the way back to the
to the
little flip machines where you know
to the Chads,
huh? Yeah, and before the Chads.
That's true.
California voting machine.
Yeah,
the little pink, the little blue dots.
And, you know, and I'll tell you the truth, you know, we went through this after the 2000 election. Obviously, what happened down in Florida ended up forcing places like Ohio to entirely change over their voting systems. And it's always struck me that wasn't necessary. We didn't have the same problems that Florida did.
You're absolutely right. We didn't, and yet we had the same system in place. And the computer punch cards that we used had proven to be a very accurate way of conducting elections. But I'm very proud of the system that we have in place now. It works exceptionally well. It's quick. And it's accurate. And the other thing I would say is after a particularly nasty fight over where the Board of Elections was going to move to, the move to this place in Norwood has proven to be of great benefit to voters in Hamilton County. And while some of my Democratic friends were concerned that Democrats wouldn't come to the Board of Elections to vote the way that they did downtown, we had a 500% increase in walk-in Democratic voters at the gubernatorial election primary in November, in this month.
Mm-hmm. Here. Yeah. So what was all the fuss about?
Well, first the fuss was about trying to move us out to northern Hamilton County in a space that wasn't on bus routes.
Right.
Here, it was moving out of downtown. I would have preferred to stay downtown if we could have found a place.
Right.
I think the Republicans would have, too, after that one fight. But Norwood, with its free parking, being very close to the interstate, being centrally located and being on a number of bus routes, has proven to be a great location for voters.
Yeah, it's not hard to find. I mean, and you've been on the Board of Elections now for how many years?
For the same number of years.
24 years.
Yes, sir.
And I would imagine that your successor or one of your successors would end up
I intend to serve out my term on the board, which expires in March of next year.
That job is paid.
It is.
Unlike the job of being the county
party
chair.
It pays
chair.
About $18,000 a year.
Yeah, it's not. You're not going to get rich on being the Board of Elections. But you have had some unbelievable fights over the years with the Republicans.
We have. The most difficult of those was without a doubt the fight over Tracy Hunter and John Williams' election for juvenile court. That fight changed the law in Ohio on how we count votes for those people who go to a multi-precinct polling place and happen to vote at the table under the wrong basket as opposed to the one at the other end. Now, as long as you're in the right location, your vote's going to count no matter which precinct you happen to go to. And now it doesn't make any difference under the system that we have.
So it used to be like wrong, right church, wrong pew.
Correct.
But now it's
as long as you're in the right church, your vote's going to count.
Yeah.
Tim, the Board of Elections is made up by two Democrats, two Republicans.
And that's what the law requires.
And that's what the law requires. And you and your counterpart, Alex Triantafilo, were regular guests on Newsmakers, my old show.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time after the show, one of our camera people came up to me, and they were all young. And they said, I'm really surprised. They actually seem to like each other. Talk about your relationships.
I will deny that in order to protect Alex. We don't like one another.
But seriously, talk about your relationship to Alex, but also to other Republican leaders over the years.
Let me tell you one of the things that has stuck with me. The day after I was first elected as Democratic Party chair, I got a telephone call from Gene Ruhlman, the former mayor of Cincinnati, who was at that time the chair of the Republican Party.
And one of the great politicians
absolutely,
of the 20th century.
And somebody who I only knew as a giant in this community. And he calls and he says, I'm coming over to your office right now. It's like, why? So I want to meet you. I want to talk to you. That's the kind of civility that I think we lose too often in politics. Alex and I have had some knockdown, drag-out fights. And before I leave office at the Board of Elections in March, I hope to have another couple of them because they can be a lot of fun. And if you read John McCain's new book, he says that same thing. You need a good fight every once in a while to stay friends with people on the other side.
But the way I've always explained it, like to those people who make that point to me, is that you may disagree on substantive issues or even procedural issues, but you're both in the fray. You're in the arena. You respect each other because you both understand small p politics of how things get done in a community.
I think that's right, and I honestly believe that politics in the end and good politics is frequently the art of the possible and the science of compromise and the way to get some things done, which may not be perfectly what you wanted, but it is a matter of being able to work with people who disagree with you, and that's the way you get things done.
And Mike Ford, towards the end of his life, one of the things he was trying to remind all of us was that the future of American politics was going to be on the local level where people actually knew each other and could create that kind of environment and those sorts of relationships. So when the party gets together to select a successor for you, what do you expect to have happen?
Well, we have 280 people who have been elected as members of the Hamilton County Central Committee in the election this May. Precinct executives is the way we typically refer to those folks. They will make a decision on who the new leaders of the party are on June 9th. Right now, I know of two sets of candidates. Former Judge Cheryl Grant has announced that she is running solely for chair, and Gwen McFarland, Springfield Township trustee, who has been my first vice chair, and Connie Pillich have announced their intention to run as co-chairs. And our rules provide for either. Hamilton County, unlike the other 87 counties in the state, we have a significant history of co-chairs running the Hamilton County Democratic Party.
Well, you had one.
I did for 5 years with Mark Mallory. And it was the most fun that I had during my term as party chair. We had a great relationship.
And there was one before that, Don Driehaus.
Don Driehaus and Bill Mallory
Senior. Bill Mallory Senior,
And before that, Sacco Wethy and Sid Wile for about a decade.
Right.
So this would be the fourth time we've had that, and it would be the first time it would be two women. It would be the first time we've had a woman as party chair, no matter which one of how that vote would turn out if those are the candidates that end up running.
And Dan and I were talking about this earlier. It would also be not only the first women, but it would be the first from outside of the city of Cincinnati.
If Pillich and McFarland.
Well, Pillich Don Driehaus was from outside of Cincinnati.
No, I mean,
he was
both
from Green Township. That's true.
That's true.
Correct.
Yeah.
So as you look at candidates that are coming up, and you know, what's the role of the chair and the sort of leadership of the party in actually selecting candidates and getting them on the ballot, convincing people to run?
Well, first of all, the role is to try and open the doors as much as possible to convince people that they ought to do this. And with, as I've said before, with some candidates like Alicia Reese and David Pepper and John Cranley, it's not about opening the doors in order to help them. It's about opening the doors so that they don't break them down. But you do want to help encourage young people to be involved in the process. And that's one of the things that is exciting me a great deal right now. And I talked about this at our spring fundraiser. The young kids who are in the streets now demanding to change the laws applying to guns, they signal a huge potential for change and potentially an enormous impact in this November's election. And it's very exciting to me. When I was student body president at Xavier, I had hanging on the wall a banner from the association song, Enter the Young. And that's what I see happening out there right now. And that's delightful and critically important to see.
And when you were in college, people were in the streets too.
Yeah, absolutely true.
That's right.
So there's a lot of those sort of generational changes. And final question, what most worries you about the local party? And do you, and even if you were staying, what would you feel you had to keep working on?
Well, two things. One, the practical matter that's always the worst, and it's the thing that I hated the most, and that was raising money. And thank God for Jerry Springer, because he was incredibly generous to the local Democratic Party and never asked for anything in return. That's one worry. The second worry is, as we become more and more of a Democratic community, the fight will no longer be, and we've already seen some of this, the fight isn't as much with the Republican Party as it is internally within the Democratic Party. And that's very difficult to deal with.
Yeah, very destructive of a lot of good feelings and hard to move forward.
No question.
So, Tim, I want to thank you for being here today, also for your service to this community for a long, long time. Howard, thanks for always being here. You'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, yes, I will be. And I want to thank Tim, too, because we worked for all these years.
Sometimes I didn't like the questions you asked, but I always tried to answer, even if I was trying
to
duck it.
He always answered, yeah. He always had an answer. I never got one of these no comments. Well, maybe a couple of times.
But thank you, guys.
There's those slippery answers that get past the question. So anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.